Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15, which is on page 947 in the Pew Bibles. The Baptism and Testing of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Thanks be to God for his wonderful word.
So one of the things that you might not know about me is that I have a real fear of water. So actually standing here right now is a little bit scary, although I trust in these floorboards. They've been here for many, many years. But I am really quite afraid of water. And this comes from a swimming accident, sadly, when I was a child. But my fear of water is such that even in the shower, I never get my face wet. So it's quite a profound fear, actually, and probably someone should pray with me after the service to be breaking that. But that is one of my fears. So when I was baptized, when I was 18, it was quite a profound moment to trust two people as they lowered me into the pool was an incredible moment. So I want to paint the picture of that for you. It wasn't quite like this morning. It was a very, very cold October morning. In fact, it was one of the first frosts of that winter. And that day, I went to my friend's house where we were doing the baptism in the garden. And they had set up a birthing pool the day before and thankfully had been heating it. But still, it was a very cold morning. So my baptism took place with five others from my church because it was the first baptisms that the church had ever done. And it was an incredible and profound moment. And for me, it marked just this real pivotal time of coming to confess that Jesus was my saviour, of committing to him. Although I'd made a commitment years earlier, actually this was the moment where I said, "Actually, Jesus, I am living for you. I will follow you." And it marked a moment where actually everything changed for me. It actually marked the time at which I went and started sharing the gospel with my friends and my family and with young people. So it was a really incredible moment. So I know that this morning, as we baptize five young people, it's going to be an incredible moment for each and every one of them. Now, perhaps you've been a Baptist all your life, and you know so much about baptism. Perhaps you've heard that story of Jesus being baptized so many times that it's just second nature to you. But I wonder if this morning you would take just a little bit of time to recall that amazing moment in your journey of faith. Perhaps you've not actually been coming to a Baptist church for very long, and you've never really considered this thing of baptism. Perhaps you're entirely new to faith this morning. Well, this morning I want to bring us back to the accounts in Scripture of what happened when Jesus himself was baptized. So I wonder if you will bear with me for a moment. Perhaps you could close your eyes, because in a moment I'm going to read what happened again. Read that scripture to you. And I think it's just got such brilliant pictures in it. So perhaps you'll close your eyes as I read this and just try and picture it in your mind. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." You can open your eyes. I love that passage because I think it's got this whole dramatic thing going off. It reminds me of, you might not have seen it, but I like old movies, the film of the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston in it. You know, the presence of God that you see there, just the dramatic, it's epic. It's just such an incredible passage. Those pictures I showed from the Bible as I read the story earlier, just don't cut it, I don't think. This nice sunny day and the clouds part and the sun rays come down. Actually, can you imagine what it would have been like for the heavens to open? For the glory of God to have been seen. It's epic. I imagine it didn't open with a gentle opening of the clouds and some flowery music playing. I imagine it sounded quite a lot like the thunder that we had the other night, as heaven tore itself open in that amazing moment that Jesus was baptized. So it's a little surprising that this epic moment happened with just a few people there. So I'm really thankful that it's in the Bible to reveal this moment to us. But actually the fact that it's in Scripture at all is a little bit shocking. Because John was preaching a baptism of repentance from sin. He was putting people in the water to cleanse them from their sin. And yet Jesus comes along, who is completely sinless. He is without sin, never sinned. And he asks John to baptize him. And yet this account can't be taken out of the Bible, because it is so significant. Because there's a sense in which this is a really crucial moment. It's a pivotal moment. It's the moment that for Jesus, he dedicates himself to obey God's will. And he does it through an event which symbolizes what his whole ministry is about. Making it possible for sinners, like you and me, to repent. In order to be drawn into a relationship with their loving Father and to share in new life with God. In baptism, Jesus really shared the circumstances that we have, in which we become aware of our need and we turn to God. We come to him as our Saviour. Because he is the one who can meet our needs. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time just thinking about, well, what actually happened in those moments? Roydy said that heaven opened. In Mark it says heaven was torn open. And like I say, that just must have sounded like thunder. And the glory of God is revealed. And that really points towards what we hope for. What we can expect in the end when actually we are drawn into heaven. Heaven tears open to welcome us home as we have eternal life with Christ. But that wasn't all that happened. The heavens didn't just tear open, because Jesus saw the Spirit descending. And he heard a voice from heaven. So the Spirit of God appears as a dove. And it kind of reminds us of creation, where the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And it wasn't a passive thing. Something amazing was happening in that moment. Just as here, as the dove comes, the Spirit of God in the form of a dove comes, something amazing is happening. And Jesus hears the voice of God and those brilliant words, "This is my Son, in him I am well pleased." They speak so much of other Old Testament passages where God says, "I am your Father. You are mine. You belong to me." So we have to think about, well, is this just for Jesus? Because Mark's account says, well, Jesus saw the Spirit of God. Jesus heard the voice of God. Was it just for Jesus? I think it was an amazing moment for Jesus. It was a revelation for him. And in that moment, he was affirmed as God's own son. God confirmed to him that actually he is the Messiah. He is the one that everyone has been hoping for. But it wasn't just for Jesus, I don't think. Because this didn't take place with Jesus alone in his room. He didn't get into the bathtub, not that they had bathtubs. But he didn't do it himself. He did it with a crowd around him. It was a public event. And so the heavens tearing open, the Spirit descending, and the voice of God were being heard, were things that could not have been missed by that crowd who had gathered. There is no way that you missed that. These were signs for all of us. It was a public declaration in that moment, letting everybody know that Jesus was God's Son, that he was his beloved, that he is the Messiah. He is the hope of the world, which had truly come. So at this pivotal moment, right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, what takes place is both a private affirmation of who Jesus is, but also a public declaration that this is the Messiah, this is the hope. He is the one who will save us. But actually what happened in that moment is not necessarily the most important thing. Actually, what it means is. So for Jesus, this combined all of his hopes, everything that he'd been saying about himself, all of it came and was confirmed in this moment. His whole identity, who he was, God's own son, was confirmed in this moment. And I think that Jesus really needed that affirmation. Because this moment, this pivotal moment, marks the beginning of his 3 years of ministry on earth. Prior to his ultimate act of sacrifice, as he died on the cross for you and for me, to take away our sin and make it possible that we could know God. We heard from that passage that Pauline read for us that immediately from this moment, Jesus is led into the wilderness. And for 40 days and for 40 nights, he fasted, which is incredible in itself. But in that time, he was tempted by the devil. Yet he went into that challenge knowing who he was. At the very core of his being, God had spoken over him. He knew who he was. And he knew that he was called and anointed to go into that time of 40 days with that confidence is incredible. But following this, he went into the world and he started to go to different people and he started to tell them the good news that the kingdom of God had arrived. It was here. It was in him. And he did this not only in the words that he spoke to people, and he used great words, great stories about the kingdom of God that was here and present and for everybody. But he also did it in the way that he loved and he interacted with people, the conversations that he had, the way that he healed and forgave sin. He showed the kingdom of God through his power. He told the storm to be quiet. The kingdom of God was at hand. He showed his compassion by feeding more than 5,000 people. The kingdom of God was at hand. So that we see that Jesus' baptism was a real crucial and pivotal moment from which his entire ministry erupted. But all of this raises a question for us this morning. Why do we do baptisms today? Why is it that in an hour we're going to baptize 5 young people in this pool right here? As I said, when I had my baptism, I'd come from a Church of England church previously. And that's because that was the local church when at 16 I gave my life to Christ. And in that church, I was sprinkled, baptized, and I was confirmed. But actually, I didn't feel like, whilst I'd made a commitment to follow Christ, my journey took me away from him a little bit and then back to him. So when I was 18, I decided that actually this was the moment. This was it. My life was fully committed to Christ. I was not turning back. He was my Lord. And so at that time, I decided to be fully immersed, baptized. And from that moment, actually, everything changed. Fully committed to God, I went and I started to tell others about God's good news, to share God's love with them. Now, I know that we have all come from different places. Our faith journeys are different. Some of us will have been baptized as infants, confirmed in the Church of England. Some of us will have been baptized here in this very pool. Some of us, like me, were baptized in someone's back garden. How amazing would it be for us to gather all of our stories, our journeys of faith, those points of commitment that we have, and just give testimony to God for how great he is, for all the things that led us to those points, and all the things we've done since in following Christ. What a book of adventures that would make. I think each of our journeys of faith are incredible. But I think that baptism is a real pivotal moment for everybody. And I think that we baptize people in the Baptist tradition for 5 reasons. Now, the Baptist Union tell me 3, but I've added 2 because I think they're good. Okay? So 5 reasons why we do baptism. You ready? We do baptism, number 1, because Jesus is our example. As Christians, we strive to follow Jesus, to do what he did in loving others and sharing good news. But he was baptized. So we follow Jesus in that. I'm going to run through these quick, so I hope you're keeping up. Number two, we baptize in obedience. The Great Commission, Matthew 28, Jesus gives a command. And he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. He gives us a command to go and do this. And the early church followed that command. And in Acts 2, we read that they said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So we come to the waters of baptism out of obedience. We come to baptism, number three, because of what it means. It isn't just a good excuse to have a bath, although some of those young people may need it. It's so rich with imagery. The fact that we enter the water and arise cleansed of our sin. That's incredible. The fact that when we go down into the water, it symbolizes us dying to our old self. And we are raised into new life with Jesus as our Lord. What baptism means is incredible. We do baptism, number four, because it's an act of commitment. The young people this morning will stand and they'll give testimony, and each one of them will say how they are now following Christ. They are committed to following him and making him their Lord. And number five, last one. We do this thing called baptism because in doing so we receive God's Spirit. Just as Jesus received God's Spirit and was sent into the world into his ministry, we go into the world to love, to serve, and to share God's good news with the world. So this morning, those five young people will make a declaration of faith. And there are four statements in it. And I just want to read those to you. And perhaps if you have been baptized, these might recall something for you. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour? Do you turn from sin, renouncing evil and following Christ? Will you live in the fellowship of the church and serve Jesus Christ in the world? This morning I want to ask you to consider one of two things. For those of you who have made those statements, either in the waters of baptism or in confirmation, or if you've had those words spoken over you as an infant, in whatever form it took, do you affirm those statements again today and every day? And for those of you who are maybe new to faith, new to church, or simply new to the idea of baptism, is God calling you to come to these waters, to come to the waters of baptism, to affirm your commitment to him and be confirmed in your identity as his chosen and forgiven child?